ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नास्तपयेश विदेशो नित्यं भगवदसेवया। भगवद्योत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिके। So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, chapter 16, entitled A Description of Jabaldev. So Prabhupada has given a summary of the chapter, and so we'll just briefly go through that, and then we will read the verse and the translation. So Prabhupada is describing here about the character of Maharaj Priyavrata and his descendants, and describing how Sukadeva Goswami is explaining about the Bhumandal, the planetary system known as Bhumandal, which is like a lotus flower, and there are 7 islands there who are compared to the world of the lotus. And in the middle of that Bhumandal is Jambudvip. And there is a mountain there known as Sumeru Mountain, which is made of solid gold. The height of the mountain is 84,000 yojanas. And it is explained that one yojan equals to 8 miles. So there's a huge mountain there. And it is explained 16,000 yojanas are under the earth. And the width is 32,000 yojanas. And so this Sumeru mountain is the support of this planet Earth. On the southern side of the land, known as Ilavritavarsha, are the mountains known as Himavan, Hemkut and Nishada. On the northern side, the other mountains, Nila, Shweta and Sringa. On the eastern side and western side, there are Malyavan and Gandhamadan, 2 large mountains. And then there are 4 more mountains surrounding Sumeru Mountain, known as Mandara, Medu Mandar, Suparshva and Kumud. In each one of them is 10,000 yojanas long and high. So 10,000 times 8, 80,000 miles long and high. And there are trees on these mountains. They're also huge. And it is explained the mango tree, a rose apple tree, kadamba tree, and banyan tree, and they're 1,100 yojanas high. Means 8,800 miles high. And there are lakes full of milk, honey, sugar cane juice, and pure water. There are also different gardens there known as Nandan, Chitrata, Vaibrajak, and Sarvatubhadra. On the side of Suparsha Mountain, there's a Kadamba tree, and from that tree, streams of honey are flowing. And on Kumud Mountain, there's a banyan tree named Satavalashva, and from the roots, the rivers flowing, containing milk, yogurt, and other desirable things. And surrounding Sumeru Mountain, there are also 20 mountain ranges. And to the east of Sumeru, there are mountains known as Jatara and Devakut. On the west are Pavan and Payatra. In the south, Kailash and Karavir. On the north, Trishringan Makar. And all these mountains are about 18,000 yojanas long, 2,000 yojan wide, and 2,000 yojan high. On the summit of Mount Sumeru is Brahmapuri, the residence of Lord Brahma. And surrounding Brahmapuri are the cities of King Indra and other demigods. And all these cities are one-fourth of the size of Brahmapuri. So Brahmapuri, the residence of Lord Brahma, is the greatest, is the biggest. So this is the introduction by Prabhupada. So we'll read the verse, and then the word for word, and then the translation and the purport. Rajovacha uktvastvaya bhumandalayama Vishesha Yavat Adityas Tapati Yatra Chasau Jyotisham Ganais Chandrama Va Saha Drishyate. Now the word for word, Rajavacha. Maharaj Parikshit said, Ukta, already been said, Tvaya, by you, Bhumandal, of the planetary system known as Bhumandal. Ayama Vishesha, the specific length of the radius. Yavat, as far as. Aditya, the sun. Tapati, heat. Yatra, wherever. Cha, also. Asau, that. Jyotisham, of the luminaries. Ganai, with horns. Chandrama, the moon. Va, either. Saha, with. Drishyate, is seen. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki? Translation. King Parikshit said to Sukadeva Goswami, O Brahmana, you have already informed me that the radius of Bhumandal extends as far as the sun spreads its light and heat, and as far as the moon and all the stars can be seen. Purport. In this verse it is stated that the planetary system known as Bhumandal extends to the limits of the sunshine. According to modern science, the sunshine reaches Earth from a distance of 93 million miles. If we calculate according to this modern information, 93 million miles can be considered the radius of Bhumandal. In the Gayatri Mantra we chant Om Bhurbhuvah Svaha. The word Bhur refers to Bhumandal. Tat Savitur Varenyam. The sunshine spreads throughout Bhumandal. Therefore the sun is worshipable. The stars, which are known as nakshatra, are not different suns as modern astronomers suppose. From Bhagavad Gita we understand that the stars are similar to the moon. Nakshananam aham shashi. Like the moon, the stars reflect the sunshine. Apart from our modern distinguished estimations of where the planetary systems are located, we can understand that the sky and its various planets were studied long, long before Srimad Bhagavatam was compiled. Sukadeva Goswami explained the location of the planets, and this indicates that information was known long, long before Sukadeva Goswami related it to Maharaj Parikshit. The location of the various planetary systems was not unknown to the sages who flourished in the Vedic age. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshuram Militam Yanam Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Bandeham Sri Guru Sri Yata Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagra Jatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitantam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Sri Vishagam Vidamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Govigaganta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshare Prishabano Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Banchakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaham Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityanandam Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivajari Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Ramo, Rama Ramo, Hare Hare So, here Parikshit Maharaj is speaking to Sugriva Goswami. I wanted to know more about this material universe, the different planetary systems. And so in this verse, so he's mentioning that Sugriva Goswami had already mentioned something about the Bhumandal, this planetary system known as Bhumandal, and which is where we are situated, which is very big, as explained in the purport by Srila Prabhupada, and in the verse by Parikshit Maharaj, as he has heard, it is extending up to the sun and the moon and all the stars. So whatever we can see that is part of the Bhumandal with our eyes. Of course, so Prabhupada is explaining about the scientists, and they are given some information, and and in the Bhagavatam the information that is most correct. And Srila Prabhupada is explained in the purport here that so this knowledge is not only since the Bhagavatam was compiled, as you know, by Vyasadev with the help of Sri Ganesh also, and Vyasadev had spoken, and then Sugriva Goswami. But even before that, so that was 5,000 years ago, but even before that, so the knowledge was already present. And so the knowledge of the Bhagavatam, that is eternal knowledge. And as soon as this material world is becoming manifested, then by the will of the Lord, that is then becoming manifested. And even on the higher planetary systems, the Bhagavatam is there, but that has, it is explained, 1 billion verses are there. So just like Krishna is unlimited in this pastime, so the Srimad Bhagavatam is unlimited. And so it is not different from Krishna's Surup that has been explained also by the Acharyas, like the first canto and the second canto are considered to be the lotus feet of the Lord, and the tenth canto is a beautiful face of Krishna, and the 11th the forehead, and the 12th the top of the head. So everything is included in the Bhagavatam, but sometimes it is it is condensed and the essence is given, or some pastimes are given for the understanding of the different persons according to time, place and circumstances. So this knowledge is revealed. and but it is perfect and it is complete. So this information which we have here, and Prabhupada has mentioned introduction, it is complete. And some devotees, they have studied it also. Devotees who are connected to this field of this material world, and they have studied that and have given some presentation, and which is authorized, and which is, of course, also for the modern scientists, they may take knowledge from that. But unfortunately, the modern scientists, they have no faith in the Vedic scriptures, and they depend on their material instruments and what other scientists they have told, and then they are giving their own thoughts and basically speculations. But still some knowledge is there and some information the scientists have, and it cannot be completely disregarded. And especially in practical life, we have to some extent, for example, we had to go to school and we had to accept whatever is given there in the books of the school, and the knowledge which is there that has to be accepted, and that is accepted by the common man. But those who have knowledge of the Bhagavatam, they are very fortunate by the mercy of the Supreme Lord and these great personalities like Srila Vyasadeva, Sugadeva Goswami, and then by the Acharyas. After that, especially the six Goswamis, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and Srila Prabhupada, who has studied the commentaries of these great Acharyas following Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then they have presented this transcendental subject matter and given some understanding for our knowledge. And so we may study, and we may then also, if we have the ability, we may present to inquisitive persons or even scientists. For example, even as far as I'm concerned, I have gone through the Bhagavatam, the fifth canto, and it is very interesting, but yes, there are some other parts of the Srimad Bhagavatam, like the first canto, and where the philosophical explanations are given on how to proceed on the path of perfection, and so we may realize the Sarup of Krishna and our own Sarup as the eternal servants of Krishna, the process by which we can realize and be firmly fixed. So that is more interesting, at least to my nature and my consciousness. Let's even see the first verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which Sigonitai ki, Sisi Krishna Param ki, Sisi Radha Shama Sandar ki. In which practically also the essence is included there, and it is also Satyam Param Dimahi, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, as we offer our respects every day to Vasudev. The expansion of Krishna, the first expansion of Brajendra Nanda Chyam Sundar, is the Mool Roop, is the original form. Vasudeva is the first expansion, the son of Vasudeva and Devaki. And then Satyam Param Dimahi. So we should meditate Satyam on the absolute truth, Param Satya Vasudeva Krishna Dimahi. We should meditate. And it is an indication of also the Gayatri Mantra. And the Gayatri Mantra is also, Prabhupada is referred to in the purport, the Gayatri Mantra, that is to be chanted by the Brahmanas, Yasyastri Sandhyam, three times a day they will chant the Gayatri Mantra, which is divided also in three parts, dealing with Sambandha Jnana, Abhideya Jnana, and Prayojan Jnana. So Sambandha, that is, first of all, we have to know that Krishna is the absolute truth, and the different expansions are there in the spiritual realm, Vaikuntha, in the spiritual realm, and that we actually belong to there. But somehow, due to misfortune, we have come to this world and been trapped by the three modes of material nature. But basically we are the eternal sons of Krishna, and we belong to the spiritual realm, and so we should try to act on that platform of the spiritual platform, so we may realize our real nature as the eternal servant of Krishna, our real form as the eternal servant of Krishna, and our relationship with Krishna, loving relationship. And Krishna is Satchananda Swarup, and we have Satchananda Swarup. We are Satchananda Swarup, but Krishna is Viva and we are Anu. So that is the first part. And all the Vedic literatures, they're actually dealing with Sambandha Bidhyayam Prayojan Gyan. First of all, we have to realize the situation, the actual situation of the spiritual world and the material world, and our relationship, and that we have to try to become free from the material entanglement. And so the Gayatri Mantra is in three parts, and by chanting the Gayatri three times a day, then actually this knowledge will be revealed, Sambandha Gyan, and then Abhideya Gyan, that is the second, that is a process by which we may realize the transcendental form of the Lord and our own form and our relationship, that is known as Abhideya Gyan. And then Prayojan Gyan is realizing, or when the pure love for Krishna Prem is manifested by continuously being engaged with body, mind and words in devotional activities towards Krishna, then the Prem will be manifested, which is there, but it is dormant. It is in dormant state. The love for Krishna is there in the heart, but it is dormant. Our spiritual form, it is there, but it is dormant. So that has to be awakened, that is by surrendering to the spiritual master and by following the instructions of the spiritual master in the process. So that is also explained in the in the first verses of the Bhagavatam. The first three verses are actually related to the Sambandha Abhideya and Prayojan Gyan. Nigama Kalpa Taro Galitam Palam Sukamagadam Rita Devasam Matam Bibata Bhagavatam Rasamalaman Mura or Asik Bhuvi Bhavakaha. So then the Srimad Bhagavatam is a ripened fruit of the Vedic tree of transcendental knowledge. And the thoughtful man, the intelligent persons, saintly persons who are inclined to realize their spiritual nature and give that to others, they're relishing this. Just like the parrot is relishing the mango, on the ripe mango on the tree. So especially then the Bhavukan Rasik Vaishnavas, those who are spiritually advanced, they're known as Bhav Bhaktas, Bhavuk. They are transcendentally situated and they have crossed the material platform and come. And they are firmly fixed on the transcendental platform, as Rupa Goswami has explained. The different stages are there. First one has faith, one takes shelter of the spiritual master, and then one is doing bhajan, and then one becomes cleared from unwanted things in the heart, anatta. And then one is firmly fixed, nishta, then comes ruchi, transcendental taste for seva, for serving the Lord, and especially then for Krishna Nam, for chanting Krishna Nam, Nam Ruchi. And by doing this continuously, being engaged in chanting the holy names and serving the Lord, then comes asakti, one becomes completely attached to Krishna and detached from this material life and activities and world. And then comes the platform of bhav, where the transcendental emotions are coming from the heart, from the soul, and relation to Krishna, bhavavasta. So these are the bhav bhaktas, bhavuk. And rasik Vaishnavas, actually those who are realized, who have understood their relationship with Krishna, sarup siddhi, and then they are actually able to relish rasa svadan, this by serving Krishna, always having the seva bhav, not trying to enjoy, but serving Krishna, But on the realized platform. So Rasik Vaishnav is actually one who is fully realized. And so, and by studying the Bhagavatam from the beginning till the end, then it is expected that we may be come fully realized if we apply ourselves properly. So therefore properly introduce the daily recitation of the Bhagavatam for our benefit. So we are fully absorbed in Krishna Katha, in hearing about Krishna and Krishna's pastimes, and that is included in the different incarnations and even the description of this material universe that is helpful for our purification, so that should not be neglected. But according to one's inclination or one's nature, some may have more taste for this, and some may more have inclination to study the philosophical aspect, and some they may be simply inclined to hear the different stories or the lilas of the Lord, like in the 9th canto and the 10th canto, and where the pastimes of Ramchandra are there, which are very wonderful and enchanting and interesting. And then the 10th canto, the Srimad Bhagavatam is there, and Krishna's pastimes are there in Braj and then in Mathura and in Dwarka, which are most enchanting, most beautiful, most wonderful. Because Krishna is the source of everything. He's a source of all beauty, he's a source of all wonderful pastimes. So these are most relishable, but we should go step by step and through the whole Bhagavatam. And then when we are firmly fixed on the transcendental platform, then we may relish in the serving mode the pastimes of Krishna. Then we can fully appreciate and understand and feel transcendental pleasure. So in the 10th canto, which Prabhupada has presented in the Krishna book with some philosophical understanding, so that we may properly appreciate the 10th canto. And understand the 10th canto properly, and yes, and not be diverted or bewildered, or even yes. So it is mentioned by reading the 10th canto, we may be free from lust. And of course, therefore, the 10th canto should be read in the association of the advanced devotees. So that we may become purified from this lust, which is very subtle and it is very difficult to overcome. But we should endeavor and we should take shelter of the Vaishnavas, the holy names, and go through the Srimad Bhagavatam from beginning till 10th canto. And then those who are... then of course in the temple we go only up to where Prabhupada translated, which is alright, but then some others they will go to the VHE, when they may study the 11th canto, the 12th canto also, and which is giving also, which is having so much wonderful nectar there in the 11th and 12th canto. And Krishna's instructions are there in the 11th canto to Uddhav, which is very wonderful, and we can learn so much. And so we should read the whole Srimad Bhagavatam. And here, again, back to the purport and this Bhumandal. And Prabhupada has explained here and about the Gayatri Mantra. and the Gayatri Mantra, as I have explained, is very important is a very important help for us to make advancement. But the most important activity is chanting the holy names, which is the Yuga Dharma. And especially, of course, so many names are there, mantras are there, but the most important is the Maha Mantra. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has introduced the Yuga Dharma, the chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. And chanting Japant and Sankirtan with other devotees, that is the most important limb activity of devotional service. But in the beginning stage, it is advised by the Acharyas and even by Srila Prabhupada. In one purport, he has explained that chanting Hare Krishna is sufficient for liberation. But just to engage the disturbed mind of the conditioned soul. Therefore, I have created this society and have given so many engagements for the devotees, so they may be able to be fixed and then advance further. So worship of the deities is very important, very helpful to realize Krishna, Krishna Nam, that they are not different. If we don't have the deities and worship the deities, it may not be easy to realize the transcendental form of Krishna Nam. Similarly, the Gayatri Mantra is a help. Gayatri Mantra is not different from Krishna Sarup. There's the Kam Gayatri, is Krishna Gayatri, Gopal Mantra, which is also non different from Krishna Sarup. And there's the Gayatri for Mahaprabhu, there's a Gayatri for Ramchandra, Gayatri for Nityananda, Gayatri for Balaram, Gayatri for Srimati Radharani. And they're non different from the personalities. And so Yasyas Trisandhyam, so we chant three times a day, and that will help us to focus on these personalities. And so it will help us to come from the lower stage or from the beginning stage of Sambandha Gyan and then Abhideya Gyan, where we are firmly fixed in performing devotional service, and then we can come to the higher stage of Priyojan Gyan, where the love for Krishna will be revealed by following the process, and then the consciousness becomes pure and then love for Krishna will manifest. So even just this Gayatri, chanting the Gayatri three times a day, every day without fail, that is helping us so much to come from the platform of Sambandha Gyan to Abhideya Gyan and then to Priyojan Gyan. But of course then we have to try to chant it properly and try to be attentive while chanting the Gayatri, which I think most of the devotees, who is initiated here, second initiated, we are second initiation, not so many but still, but I think most of the devotees who have taken second initiation, they will also agree to the fact that it is not so easy to always be attentive while chanting the Gayatri. And as a matter of fact, as we know also, just chanting the holy names, to be always focused and on the chanting and hearing the holy names, it is not so easy without thinking of things which we should not think of while chanting the holy names. Similarly, even chanting the Gayatri, sometimes it may come that some thoughts may be there, and then sometimes you may realize at the end of chanting the Gayatri, oh well, I was thinking of so many other things even while chanting the Gayatri. But still, what to do? We just have to try our best. So therefore, sometimes some devotees, they may chant the Achman, just like before worshiping the deities, we perform Achman for purification. So that will help also to fix our consciousness by chanting this Achman for purification. And there's a Sadhan Achman and Vishesh Achman. And by sipping water and touching different parts of the bodies, so some purification is there of the different material parts of the body. And then even some mantras may be chanted to fix our mind so that we may chant properly the Gayatri. Just like when we go on the altar, we chant Achman and then we chant some mantras. Krishna is there directly, we return some of Krishna, but we are in the conditioned state. So therefore, although we are chanting, and that is the most important activity, and we are supposed to be pure while chanting, but still, before you go on the altar, before you worship Krishna, who is Nirmal, Sachinananda Vastu, Sachinananda Vigraha, Archavatar, we have to do this Achman for purification, because the mind is so flickering, so disturbed, in the Kali Yuga especially. And then we chant some mantras. So even in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, or it is mentioned, or in the Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Sakriya Saradipika, different activities to be performed by the Vaishnavas also, in order to be properly situated So there he has explained that we may, both Gopal Bhatti Goswami or Sanatana Goswami, they have explained, then we perform Karanas and Anganyas, touching different parts of the fingertips and the different parts of the body again for purification, so that we are understanding, I am not this body, I am spirit soul. Because that is the first thing we have to realize, and we have to be on that transcendental platform. But in the conditioned state, so the sadhaka, especially in the beginning stage, he's practically always on the material platform. Although he has some knowledge, I'm the eternal servant of Krishna. Krishna is God. But he's under the three modes of material nature. And he's not so much transcendentally situated most of the time. But those who are more advanced, in purified consciousness, they are actually situated on the transcendental platform of the Atma, Atma-tattva. But still, because material energy is so strong, and they will still also perform these different activities for purification, for their own benefit and also to teach others. Because we have to set the example for others. So even for chanting the Gayatri, so it is explained, and we may do sometimes if we see that the mind is not fixed. So then we may be able to, and even pranayam, although we are not doing pranayam necessarily, because we chant Hare Krishna, and Prabhupada used to say just chanting Hare Krishna and dancing in front of the deities, that exercise is there and breathing is there, pranayam is there. So we don't have to bother too much, but at the same time, it is also helpful to some extent, and sometimes it may be done if we see that the mind is not fixed and we want to be situated on the mode of goodness, and so we want to chant the Gayatri properly. So even pranayama is helpful for that. But we don't depend on that. But the most important activity is chanting the Maha Mantra and chanting the Gayatri. Not that we get just and also carried away. I have to do this Achman, I have to chant so many mantras before, and then taking 10 minutes, and then you chant the Gayatri, and still, because the mind is so, in the Kali Yuga, so disturbed, and again, it might be still there that while chanting the Gayatri, so many thoughts are coming. But the chanting of the Gayatri is helpful. It is very helpful for our further development, for our advancement, and so that we can chant properly Krishna Nam. We can chant properly the holy names. It is a help. But by itself, the holy names is completely independent, but it is a help, especially in the beginning, worshipping the deities. And we have to hear the Bhagavatam, and we have to chant the Gayatri, we have to do some seva, this is all helpful. But most important is chanting Krishna Nam, and by itself that is sufficient. Therefore those who are more advanced, they may be simply chanting the Madhyamadikari, he may be simply chanting the holy names, and then not so much being engaged in deity worship or even in studying the scriptures. And it is possible then to become perfect simply by chanting the holy names. But usually it is recommended to perform the other activities also, so that we may come to the stage of Shuddhanam, of chanting Shuddhanam. Here it is explained also by Prabhupada in the purport, the sun. Therefore the sun is worshipable. So different Gayatris has explained. So the Gayatri has explained here, Om Bhubhuva Swa Tat Savitur Varanyam Bhargava Devasi Dimahi. So this is actually referring, according to the translation, the primary or ordinary translation, this is referring to the sun. It is therefore proper, this is mentioning here, the sun is worshipable. And the sun is worshipped by chanting the Brahma Gayatri, Om Bhurbhuvah Svah Tat Savitur, that refers to the sun. So those who are worshipping the sun or those who are worshipping the Gayatri, they will pray to the sun who is giving actually, who is helping us also to become purified in existence. Tamasima Jyotirgamaya. So light means knowledge. So just by looking at the sun when the sun is there, or by offering respect to the sun, the consciousness is purified. And we get benefit by that. So therefore the Brahmanas and even the Vaishnavas, 3 times a day they will chant the Brahma Gayatri, which is respect to the sun. So as Vaishnavas we respect the Supreme Lord is our Ishtadev, but we respect even the demigods, especially the sun god we may respect, and even Shrimati Radharani. She is worshipping the sun god also. Every Sunday, Ravivar, Sunday is the sun, is the day of the sun. So every Sunday she is worshipping the sun near Radhakund. There's a place there, Suryakund. And there she's going there and worshipping the sun. And Vrijabhanu Maharaj, Vrijabhanu, so he's from the Suryavansh, he's from the Sun Dynasty. So every day worshipping the sun. And so Radharani is doing that too. And Krishna is in Chandravamsa, Moon Dynasty. And even in elaborate worship, the Vaishnavas, like when they install the deities or the big temples, they may also, they will offer respect to Brahma, Lord Brahma, and who is the creator of this material universe, and he's the Adiguru after Krishna in our Sampradaya. And even Lord Shiva is respected. Even Sanatana Goswami, he was staying always next to a Shiva temple. So showing respect to Lord Shiva also. Yatha Vaishnavam Shambhu, he's the greatest Vaishnav. And Srimad Gopishwaram Vande Shankara Karunamayam Sarva Kleshaharam Devan Vrindaranya Rati Pradam. So it's the mercy incarnation of Shankar. And he can destroy so many obstacles. And one obstacle is a false ego. So he's a controlling deity also of false ego. Of course, one of the expansions of the Lord, Aniruddha is also presiding over that. But even Lord Shiva also. And so he may help us. And Vrindaranya Rati Pradam. So he will give a love or Rati, affection for the transcendental dham of Sri Vrindavan, Vrindaranya, the forest of Vrindavan and the divine couple. Because he has love for Radha and Krishna. He's there in Nandish, in Nandagram. Krishna is performing his pastimes on Lord Shiva. So, who is there as a hill. So they're all worshipable. And so the sun also, and in the ordinary meaning, the sun is respected by chanting the Brahma Gayatri, and all the devotees are chanting every day. But it is explained by the Acharyas, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Sri Jiva Goswami, that the Brahma Gayatri, the first line that refers also to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishna himself, Satyam Param Dimahi. So that refers to Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan Sri Krishna is the source of everything. The light, as Prabhupada is explaining, the sun and the moon and the stars, they're actually getting the light from Krishna, from Krishna's effulgence, the Brahma Jyoti. The sun, the moon and the stars, they're getting the light from the Brahma Jyoti. So Krishna is the source of the Brahma Jyoti. Krishna is Krishna Surya, transcendental sun. Krishna's eyes are considered that in the universal form, the sun and the moon are Krishna's eyes. So everything is included in Krishna. So Krishna is the source of everything. So therefore the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, when they're chanting the Brahma Gayatri, they're not just remembering the sun. When we chant Gayatri, we are supposed to remember the personality of the mantra. Or even when we chant the Maha Mantra, we're not just chanting the Maha Mantra, we're supposed to remember who? Krishna, right? And Krishna's associates. Not just chanting Hare Krishna. Of course, in the beginning, we're just chanting and we're looking for Krishna. We're crying, Krishna, where are you? Please manifest yourself, but it will take some time. But you're supposed to remember Krishna while chanting Hare Krishna. And Radharani or even Mahaprabhu is not different. Because the Maha Mantra that is explained, Sri Chaitanya Mukund Kirna Hare Krishna Tivanaka Majanta Premini Vijayate Tatavaya. So this Maha Mantra emanating from the lotus mouth of Mahaprabhu, who is not different from Krishna. So by chanting the Maha Mantra, we should actually remember Mahaprabhu and Radha Krishna constantly. So at least sometime, at least a little bit, and we should endeavor, but we have to pronounce properly and hear nicely. So similarly, the Gayatri mantras are there, the personality is there, we're supposed to remember them. So Brahma Gayatri, so Krishna is the origin of the Brahma Gayatri also. And so therefore the Vaishnavas, they remember Krishna while chanting the Brahma Gayatri. And they're remembering Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srimati Radharani, who is the Teja, the Urja. Krishna is Shyam Sundar, blackish color, and Radharani is, she's the Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi, golden complexion. The light is there. So, and Mahaprabhu is the combined form of Radha Krishna. Radha Chintani Veshanam Yasya Kanti Vilopita Sri Krishna Chananamande Radha Lingari Vigraham. So, Krishna is blackish in complexion, but even by remembering Srimati Radharani, sometimes he changes his color. There's a lila in Imlitala when he became golden color because he was remembering Radharani. And the Brahma Jyoti is coming from Krishna. She's blackish, but all the colors are in Krishna actually. Everything is in Krishna. So by chanting the Brahma Gayatri, we remember not the sun only, but we may remember the sun, but you remember Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Radha and Krishna also. And in this way, so we may, by remembering Krishna and Mahaprabhu and Srimati Radharani, constantly then our own transcendental form may be revealed in our relationship. And then we can understand the things properly as they are, so as much as they are revealing to us. And that is actually most important. We want to realize Krishna Sarup and Mahaprabhu's wonderful form. But at the same time we are reading the Bhagavatam and we have to get some knowledge from the Bhagavatam, and then because we have to speak to materialistic persons also and scientists, and we should have some knowledge. So therefore we're discussing that also. Hare Krishna, it is for our purification, and it is part of Krishna's body and his universal form. So we should not think, oh, it is boring, I don't want to read that. No. It will also help us in our purification, because there's so much dirt in our heart, in our consciousness, and it takes time to become completely purified, and so we have to go through the Srimad Bhagavatam, and then we are actually qualified to read the Bhagavatam, the 10th canto, and to fully appreciate the 10th canto also. So it is a gradual process, this Krishna consciousness, and we have to apply ourselves to this process, especially try to see everything as Prabhupada has told us. So we see through the eye of Shastra, Jnana Shastra, Shastra Chakshu. We see through the eyes of knowledge and the scriptures, but especially as Prabhupada has seen. So therefore we read the purpose, especially Prabhupada, and try to imbibe the mood of Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada saw, he presented very nicely the Srimad Bhagavatam and the purports, and you can see the purports, he's always pointing out some things for our benefit, so we may be properly focused, as here he's explaining about the Gayatri Mantra, which is very important. So you can see in all the purports, even though externally it seems maybe not so much enlivening to us, or we cannot relate so much to that, but if you read the purpose, then we can always get some inspiration for our daily life and for our advancement. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Yeah, question is here.